Okay, guys, let's go. Page 62. Okay, 62, page, I mean, Pasuk Yud Gimel, three lines from the end of the page, 62. Okay, story until now, four kings fought the five kings. Okay, Lot and Avram separated. Lot went to Sodom, Avram went the other way. So, then the four kings fought against the five kings, the four kings won, and they captured Lot, and the, well, this is what we're coming up to now, but Yavi Apollet, the refugee came, okay? The guy that was saved from the battle, the fugitive, the guy that was saved. What does it say here? The fugitive, yes. Okay, Vayagel Avram Ivri, and he told Avram the Ivri. Why was he called the Ivri? It's interesting. The Mefarshim explained, number one, he came from the other side of the Euphrates River. Ava means either the other side of the river, which is this other side of Euphrates. Then the Medrash says a few things. Number one, the Medrash says the whole world was on one side and Avram Avinu was on the opposite side. The whole world was against Avram Avinu, right? So he was, that's why he's called Ivri. He was on one side of the world, the whole world was against him. Okay? Now why is he called Ivri? Because he was descendant of Shem Ve'Eved. You know, the yeshiva Shem Ve'Eved? So Eved, because he was a descendant from Eved, he was called Ivri. It's interesting also. Across the river, okay. Okay, those are the different reasons why Avram Avinu was called Avram Ivri. Because, okay, so now he came. And who Sheikhim Berlene Mamre? Where is Avram living at this time? Okay, he's living in the city of Mamre. Avi Eshkol, Avi Achir, the brother of Eshkol, the brother of Oned. Vehem Bali Bris Avram. They were the ones that made a covenant with Avram Avinu to be on his side. In other words, either that they bottom line of 62. Page 62, bottom line. Okay? So basically, Avram Avinu was, they made a covenant with these people, meaning they made a treaty with Avram Avinu, and also, Mefarshim say, they actually believed in God like Avram Avinu did. But that's where Avram Avinu was. What's the pasuk again showing? Lot chose to be with the guys who's dying, and Avram chose to be with the guys that believed in God, and were good people, and so on and so forth. Now, the Mefarshim explained, by the way, that when, and here you see another interesting point, a person's intent might be bad, but if his actions are good, that's what really matters. Okay? Later on in history, in Chumash, when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to destroy the two nations of Sichon and Og, before they went into Eretz Yisrael, so when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to kill the king Sichon, he killed him. He didn't care. You know, he had no problem with it. When Hashem told Avram Avinu to kill Og, who was this big giant, Hashem said, Moshe Rabbeinu, sorry. When Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to kill Og, so the pasuk says, Al tira oisei. Don't be afraid of him. By Sichon, who was also a giant, by the way, the Torah didn't, Hashem doesn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu, don't be afraid of Sichon. Hashem don't kill Sichon, he conquered his land. Here, Hashem told him, don't be afraid of Og, which means there's a reason why he should have been afraid of Og. And Hashem said, don't be afraid of him. Why was Avram Avinu afraid of Og? So the Medrash says, because Og, this Og, came and told Avram that Lot was captured. Now, so in that merit, Avram Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know, he has a certain merit. You know, he told Avram that his nephew was captured, and Avram went and took back Lot. So, you know, it was a merit that he had. So Hashem said, don't worry, you can kill him, he's no good anyway. So, the Medrash says like this, why did such a tzaddik that he wanted to help Avram Avinu? No. He knew the four kings won the five kings. They were very strong. He knew Avraham Avinu would go to save his nephew. And he was certain that the four kings are going to kill Avraham Avinu. And then he can marry Sarah. That was his whole intent. Not because he wanted to help Avraham Avinu. On the contrary, he wanted to get Avraham Avinu killed. That he can marry Sarah. She was a very beautiful woman, right? He wanted to marry Sarah. So if you think about it, his actions were good. He told Avram that Lot was captured. His intent was bad. And yet, he had a merit that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid to kill him until Hashem promised him you can go kill him. Which means that you don't always go by the intent. Even if the intent is bad, if the action, bottom line, is a good deed, it doesn't go unpunished. You find many times people do things, organizations, that they do it for the wrong reasons. You know, they do it because they want to become famous, honorees and all that. It doesn't matter. Even if your intent is not good, as long as the action is what counts, if the action is good, that's what really matters. And they learn it out, by the way, from this place with Oig and Avraham Avinu.
That's a difficult one to
explain. Why? Because the action was what counts. Action is what counts. You can have a bunch of good words. Good words achieved.
Yeah, the action that he wanted him to get killed and it just didn't
happen. That's the fact that he told him the action that he came and told him that Lloyd was captured. He wanted that Avram should get killed, but it ended up to be good. And he, in fact, he was rewarded. I mean, until Moshe Rabbeinu killed him.
Is that like what they say,
Tov Shlo Lishma Balishma? It's part of the Kazmutar Shlo Lishma, yeah. He killed a bunch of people, by the way. He killed a bunch of people. When he saw an Egyptian beating up a Jew, he killed the Egyptian.
That's right.
No, he killed Og, the giant Eidmael Chabash. Hashem told him to kill him. Huh? Sichon doesn't say Moshe Rabbeinu himself killed him. The nation killed him. By Og, it says Moshe Rabbeinu himself killed him. In fact, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amas tall, and he took a stick 10 amas, 10 cubits, and he jumped 10 cubits, and he hit Oig's ankle, and he killed him. Which the question is, that is it exaggerations, is it mystical meanings, whatever. But over there it says clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu killed him, but Sichon says the nation killed him.
Get credit for any Egyptians besides that? Like
first of all, what difference does it make? I mean, those he killed personally.
The Red Sea? Yeah.
Did he kill any others? I don't know. Doesn't say in Chumash he killed any others.
Hashem takes credit for those.
But he killed bad people. He saw an Egyptian beating up a Jew, so he killed him. That's not lucky. He killed him. Let me ask you a question. Somebody gets capital punishment and the courts kill him. Are they murderers?
No.
Is the executor, the guy that, they didn't have lethal injection in those days, the guy that stoned him, is he a murderer?
What does the halacha say, no?
No, of course not.
But how did he know, automatically know that
God told him. Okay, let's go. So he told it. Vayishma Avram pasuk yudalit. Avram heard kinishma achiv that his brother was captive. Now again, it doesn't mean his brother; it means his relative. We also learned before that Avram and Lot looked a lot alike. In fact, the Medrash has an interesting point over here. When they captured Lot, all the kings said, "Oi, we captured Avram." Because they looked identical, like Rashi said before. So everybody was excited. They thought they captured Avram. They were like Nimrod and Kedorlaomer. The guys were very excited that they were able to capture Avram himself. Then they find it wasn't true. So anyway, so Avram heard that his brother was captured. Okay? So what happened? So the Medrash says like this. God's spirit immediately rested on Avram Avinu. Hashem's spirit immediately rested in Avraham Avinu. And also, the Mefarshim say, the Alshech says, why is the Torah emphasizing over here that it's his brother? Kinish Balaita should have said, why is the Torah again emphasizing that it's his brother? Avram Avinu understood. They captured him because they thought it was him. So therefore, the Torah is emphasizing what really got Avram angry. Light was captured because they thought it was Avram. So he says, I'm not going to let my brother, my cousin, my nephew, my brother-in-law, whatever it is, get captured and whatever they're going to do to him because they thought it was me. That's not going to be. So therefore, Avram Avinu had trust in Hashem, and he says like this, Vayarik es chanichav, he armed his disciples, simply it means, he armed them with
sticks
and stuff. No, well, simply means he armed them with armory, you know, with the bows and arrows or whatever they thought with. No nuclear weapons, no. You lead the base, say, the ones that were born in his house, Shmeina Asr Shleish Meis, 318, Vayir De Fadon. Okay? Now, what does he say, you lead the base, say? What do you mean? They weren't born in his house. We learn also in Pasuk later on in the Shema, when it, also a Pasuk in Chumash. It says in Shema, Vishinantam Levanecho, should teach your sons. Rashi says, Elo Atalmidim. They refer to your students. They're called your children. It says, Elo told us, in Parsha Shmeis, it says, Elo told us, Meisha and Aaron. These are the children of Meisha and Aaron. And it only mentions the children of Aaron. Now, why it said the children of Moshe and Aaron, if there's no mention of Moshe's children? But the answer is, Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aaron's children Torah, so they were considered his kids. So therefore, these Yelid Beis, the Mefarshim say a few points over here. Number one, these were people that Avraham Avinu raised in belief in one God. Avraham Avinu knew, in order to win against these four powerful kings that killed the five kings and totally destroyed them, it's going to be a godly war. It's going to be in Kedusha. It's not going to happen just because of physical strength. Because they were much stronger. Nimrod was strong. Kedalaimer was strong. These people were super powerful. So Avraham Avinu understood this is going to have to be a spiritual war. And therefore he only took 318 people. Or as Rashi says, it was really only Eliezer. Eliezer equals 318. Yeah? But Avraham Avinu took these people, but he took Yelidei Beisei, the Medrash says, because these people were raised to believe in God, so Avraham Avinu knew these are going to be proper warriors. Now, so therefore he took them, trained in his house from the time of birth, and before, now, Shamshi Rafal Hirsch says an interesting thing over here. Light, and this you see the importance of education beginning from birth. Light was also raised in Avram's house. Right? Light was also raised in Avram's house. But he wasn't born in Avram's house. So what he got later were acquired midas, not inborn from birth. You know, what you have from birth is still from birth. It's ingrained within you. So light, as much influence that Avraham Avinu had on him, or even all the soul we learned at the beginning of the Lech Lecha, all the nefesh asher asu b'charan, all the souls that he made in Chod, nothing, there was no permanency from it. After Avraham Avinu died, there was nothing left of them. Why? Because they didn't have it from birth. And that's why, as we'll learn later in the end of the parasha about the Bris Milah, okay, Avraham Avinu, when he was told by Hashem at the end of the parasha of Lech Lecha, that, you're going to have a son Yitzchak. So Avraham said to Hashem, Lu Yishmol Yechil Lefanecha. What's wrong with Yishmol? He was raised in Avraham Avinu's house. What's wrong with Yishmol? So Hashem said to him, everything good and fine, but you're going to have Yitzchak. What's the difference between Yitzchak and Yishmol that Hashem taught Avraham Avinu? There's a big difference between Yitzchak and Yishmol. Yishmol had his bris at 13. That's what it says in the Chumash. At the end of Lech Lecha, it says, Avraham Avinu gave a bris when he was 99, and Yishmael was born when Avraham Avinu was 86. So when Yishmael had his bris, he was 13. Yitzchak had his bris 8 days old. Right? He was the first Jew ever to be circumcised 8 days old. What's the difference between 8 days old and 13? 13 is bar mitzvah. 13 is maturity. 13 is seichel. Right? Seichel, understanding. 8 days old, not too much maturity at 8 days old.
No memory.
No memory at all. That's good. It's good there's no memory. If not, he wouldn't look at his parents anymore. The male for sure not. So, what does that represent? In fact, also we learned why the number 8. 7 represents time and place. 7 days of the week, right? The next day is the new day, the first day of the next week. Time is divisible by 7. Place and time is 7. 8 represents the supernatural, above time and place. Yeah. So the difference is Yishmael's bond with Hashem was an intellectual bond. Yitzchak's bond with Hashem was an essential bond from birth. Yes, they have an essential bond from birth. In fact, what says in Sfarim, why did Hashem make the bris in the 8 day? Technically, a kid can have a bris in the 4th day, 5th day in the hospital, they do a bris earlier. Because there has to be a Shabbos. There has to be a Shabbos before the kid is ready for the bris. In the Kiddush of Shabbos, the kid needs to have a Shabbos, even though he doesn't know what's going on, but he needs to have the sanctity of Shabbos before he's able to get a bris. So therefore, Yitzchak's relationship with God was above nature, above logic. It was an essential bond. Light came to Avraham Avinu. Yeah, he was raised in Avraham Avinu's house, but later on, when he was either a teenager, or whatever the age, it doesn't say, but whatever it was, light didn't have it from birth. Therefore, light turned away because it wasn't ingrained within him. Yelidei Beisei, the Mefarshim say, why did Avraham Avinu take Yelidei Beisei? Because he wanted to show that from birth. When you start it from birth, that's when it lasts forever. And therefore, Shem Shemfal Hirsch brings on over here the concept of, you see how important education is from the earliest of ages. But they mentioned many times, a pregnant woman once went to her OBGYN and she didn't have the baby yet. But she said to the doctor, when do I begin educating my child? What age? So the doctor said to her, how old are you? So she said, 25. He said, you're 25 years too late already. You know, you need to educate ourselves in order to, but education has to be from the beginning. Well,
can't you make the same argument though that Abraham was 99 when he had his brit milah? I mean, I'm saying it.
Yeah, but that's when Hashem, but Avraham Avinu is the opposite of that. There's a famous story, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe, when he was 5 years old, he learned Chumash, Parshas Vayera, after Lech comes Vayera, that Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu. Yeah? So he came home from school, he used to go after Cheder, you know, he used to go to his grandfather, Tzemach Tzedek, and tell him what he learned. He comes into the Tzemach Tzedek, and he starts crying. So the Tzemach Tzedek said to him, why are you crying? He said, why does Hashem appear to Avraham Avinu and not to me? To bother this 5-year-old kid. To the extent that he cried. Yeah? Not why he didn't get a candy. He said, why does Hashem reveal himself to Avraham Avinu and not to me? So the Tzemach Tzedek said to him, he said, it's a 5-year-old kid, but when a Jew who is 99 years old understands and realizes he needs to do a bris, he is worthy that God should appear to him. That's what he answered him. So the Rebbe explains the story. What does he mean? A Jew 99 years old. Okay, so you know in Pirkei Avos, in the fifth parak, it says, 5 years Chumash, 10 years old Mishnah, 13 year old Bar Mitzvah, 15 year old the Gemara, 18 year old get married, you know, then it goes through the whole thing. So it says, 40 is Bina, 50 is advice, 60 is old age, 70 is ripe old age, okay, yeah. And then it says, Ben Meya, when a person reaches the age of 100, Ki ilu mes, the avar ubatul min ha'ilam. It's like he died, and he left the world. Now, can you imagine a guy merited to live 100 years old, and basically, what does the Mishnah say? Drop dead. It's like kilo mass, it's like you died, and you passed over the world already. I mean, that's what you tell a 100-year-old guy? Come on. Kilo, what you say? 100? So, the meaning is just the opposite. There is 10 spheres, 10 attributes, right? 10 powers of the soul. Each one is composed of 10. So the number 100 represents a completion of the human being. When all 10 powers, and each one is composed of 10, when they're done to perfection, then you know you reach the ultimate perfection. And that's what the Mishnah says. Ben Meya, when you reach the level of 100, it's like you passed away. Min ha'olam, ola means world, but ola means concealment. Olam, because we're the halam, that's why it's called olam. Concealment. What you tell the person at the age of 100, you reach perfection, so you are above and beyond olam, the concealment of God. You are now in a pure state of completion. So it's not something you tell the guy drop dead. I mean, you are considered as if you passed over the level of concealment. Now you are perfection of God. Correct? Now, the number 100, therefore, represents completion. Perfection. Yeah? 99, as they say, you're out there, you're almost there. Yeah, 99 is pretty close to 100. Yeah? So, which means as follows. Let's go back a second. There's a famous, a guy asked one of the rabbis of the Gemara, you know, God creates us with the arla, the foreskin, and then he says, cut it off. Why didn't he just make us without it? If he doesn't want it, he says it's ma'usa despicable, so why did Hashem create us with it? And then he says, cut it out, he should have made us without it. Right? It was a very simple question. What's the answer? So he answered him, God didn't make ready bread in the field. God made wheat, and you have to perfect the wheat to make it into bread. Everything in life is like that. You don't sit down and all of a sudden, you know, like you rub the lantern and the genie comes and you got it all. It doesn't work like that. God created an unfinished world, so to speak, and we have to perfect it. God makes wheat. You can't eat wheat. We have to perfect it in to make it into flour. Okay, with everything like that. But what does it mean? God says, I am making you imperfect because I want you to perfect yourself. I am making an imperfect world because I want you, humans, Jews and our mission, Goyim and their mission, to perfect the world. So the Rebbe Rashab said the Tzemach Tzedek said to the Rebbe Rashab, Avraham Avinu at 99, he's almost at perfection. So he guy would think, okay, Dayenu, I'm done already. He still realized he needs to do a bris. He is worthy that God should reveal himself. That's a much different concept than the 13-year-old teenager, Yishmael. Okay? So that was Avraham Avinu's uniqueness. And he couldn't have done it from birth because he wasn't given the mitzvah yet. When he was given the mitzvah, he did it.
The other thing that's unique about Avraham is that he was also not raised in a household with...
Correct. What made Avraham, we went through this a million times, what made Avraham the first Jew? Why wasn't Noach the first Jew? He's a nice guy. pretty good guy, the Torah says, because because Avraham Avinu did it on his own. God spoke to Noach. Avraham Avinu did it on his own. That's what made him great. Okay. Okay, so now he said, why did he take 318 people? So there's a lot of different interpretations of it. Some people say that's all he found of these religious people, so to speak. So that's what he took. Other people say that no, it actually there was servant Eliezer, he cost 318, right? And these are the ones he trained, and that's what he took. Okay? Now, Rabbeinu Bechayidu says an interesting thing, or Bachi Bechayidu, whichever way you pronounce it. He said, Avraham Avinu, because the Pasuk says 318. And yet the Medrash says it was Eliezer. So it says he took 318 people, but the only one they really fought was Eliezer. They all got scared. They actually all got scared, he says. They're afraid of the impossible odds. Okay? So Avraham Avinu said, you know what? Like it says in the Chumash, if you're feeble, weak-souled, get lost, you know, I don't want you. So this they had done. He ran until dawn. Why did he run until dawn? So Rashi says in the Gemara, dawn was where Yeravim ben Nevat put up idols. Later on in history. When Avraham Avinu, again, this is all a spiritual battle, because there was no way physically he would win them. So, he says, he came to Dan and he foresaw that Jews are going to put idols there, so he weakened. And only chased him till Dan. In the simple meaning of the Pasuk, that's what he needed. They didn't need anything more. And the Pasuk says like this, Vayecholek aleim laila. Okay, it says like this, he and his servants deployed against them all night. That's the simple meaning. He pursued them into the city of Chayva, which was on the north left of Damascus, which means the north of Damascus.
Are they slaves, these guys who are fighting?
Yeah, they were the Yelid Beisei, the ones that were born in the south, for maidservants. Yeah. They weren't just children. What it means is like this. So what do you mean, how does night get in here? Okay, he divided the night. So Rashi says, number one, even at night he kept going without night goggles. Another interpretation of Medrash, by the way, says he waited until night when it was dark. They were sleeping, the enemy, and they were all drunk. At night, he used to drink. What did he do? So, Avraham Avinu in the warfare, understood that he's going to make sure they're tired and drunk, and he did it that way. The confusion, Barbanel says that he did it when they were sleeping to confuse them, that they should think it's a much greater army than it was. Another thing it says like this. Some Mepharshim say, and this is a strange thing, that for the first half of night, the kings had the upper hand. Second half of the night, that's when Avraham Avinu won. But the first half, they were winning. Okay? Another thing it says, that here's another interesting. Who says this? Medrash says, Hashem divided the night. What do you mean he divided the night? Half the night he kept for the victory now, Avraham Avinu with the kings, and the second half of the night for the victory in Egypt when God killed the firstborn at midnight. So that's what it means. The Pasuk says God split the night. Half the night Avraham Avinu won them now, and half a night by the story of Pesach, when God killed the firstborn, so that was the second half of the night that he gave in both halves.
Where is Don in terms of like compared to where.
So here is an interesting discussion. Here, was at one time it was called Leshem. So, okay, the extreme northern border of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, some people say this was at the northern border of Eretz Yisrael. Pirkei Rav Elazar says it's Banias or Donar Kesarian. It could be. By the way, there's a question: is Don wasn't even born yet? So again, the Mefarshim explained there was a city in the time of Avraham Avinu called Don.
So how far is it that he went to? He went to.
It doesn't say how far this. He ran to Damascus.
So that could be days, weeks.
No, it was one night. Did it in one night. It says, Taka, they bring down an unbelievable miracle over here. Here.
What did they? F-14s?
Okay, Ramban explains, again, the Ramban explains, Rashi and Ramban explain things according to the simple meaning of the pasuk, and then you have, Ramban explains he chased them for many days to Chayva, forcing him out of the land. Okay? He turned around and came back. In other words, he made sure they went back to Bavel, to Babylon, and then he came back. According to the rabbis, however, a great miracle occurred there. Avram traversed this great distance from his home of Mamre to Chova in a tenth of the time. He just had what's called Kfitzas HaDerech in the tenth of the time. So there he did his job in one night. It's wild. Well, again, the whole thing is a miracle here.
The 6 day war.
This
the 6 hour war.
Yeah.
No, but this is this is obviously a spiritual war. You're talking about the superpowers of the world against, it's like David against Goliath. I mean, come on, this is like, but this was the miracle that Hashem did. It was a miraculous war. And that's what he did. It's interesting, Yosefun, you know, Josephus. So he also says the historical, but it's, you know the book Yosefun, Josephus? It's not Torah. It was written in the time of the second Masechet from a historian called Josephus, so Yosefun in Hebrew. He wrote the historical events of a lot of Jewish history. And even though it wasn't considered Torah, because he wasn't, I don't even know if it was Jewish or not, whatever.
He converted
it. Something like that, but it was authentic. And he writes over here like this. When Avram heard of what happened to Lot, he went, before they could arm themselves, he slew some of them, they were in their beds, before they could not suspect any harm. The others who had not gone to sleep yet were so drunk they couldn't fight, so they ran away. Second day, he drove them to Chova, a place belonging to Damascus. So according to Yosefun's story, Avraham Avinu chased him to Damascus. And he showed, even Yosefun writes, Avraham Avinu showed there was a miracle and it's not a question of numbers.
Damascus, is that Syria?
Yeah,
Damascus is the capital of Syria.
Same one.
He's still fighting there.
Still a mess.
Okay, so now what happened like this. Vayoshev is called a rechush. He took back all the properties because the Sukkim say when the four kings won the five kings, they took all the properties of the four kings. Of the five kings. So now it says Avraham Avinu took all their possessions, all the spoils. Vegam es light achiv rechush eichiv. He took back Light and his properties, the Gamas Anoshim. Okay, some of us should learn it means Light's wives. Probably had more than one. That was common in those days. So he got back. He came with the greater victory, rescue of Light. He brought back all the women and the slaves, and he brought back Vesa'am, the nation. The Gamas Anoshim Vesa'am. Okay, anybody that was captured, he brought back. Now, we're going to see, it says in the next passage, the king of Zedim went out. What happened to the king of Amora? So it says Hitaka died. Before it said, when they were running away from the four kings and five, they sunk into quicksand. Remember, they couldn't get out. So the king of Amora died. The king of Sodom miraculously was saved. And therefore he had a lot of chutzpah. He didn't recognize the miracle that happened to Avraham Avinu. He said, you see Avraham, that's why he didn't offer him anything like Malki Tzedek did, within a few psukim, yeah? The king of Sodom said, hey, guess what? I was also saved miraculously, just like you were saved from Nimrod's fire, that he came out untouched. So I was also saved from the quicksand, and I got out. Hashem did a miracle for him to get him out.
Why did Hashem do that?
Why did Hashem do it? Because he needed Sodom to realize.
So he could destroy Sodom later.
No, Hashem wanted the king of Sodom. You know, Hashem does miracles to people that they should realize later. I'll give you a simple example. In Chumash. Later on in Chumash, obviously. After the splitting of the sea, all the Egyptians died. So it says, Ad Echad. That from the Egyptians, not simply means not even one was saved. All the Egyptians drowned in the sea. Yeah? The Medrash says, Ad Echad means all the Egyptians were drowned except one. Who is it? Pare. God did a miracle by the splitting of the sea, the Medrash says, that Pare was saved. This Pare, you know what we read, Mafter Yonah? The story with the king of Nineveh, Yonah was afraid to go, okay. The king of Nineveh, the Medrash says, was Pare, who was saved from the Yamsuf.
That was many years later.
Many years later. It was the same guy. He became the king of Nineveh. Now, why did God save him from the drowning? God could have killed him too. He was just as bad as everybody else. Why did God kill him? I mean, save him. That he should go out and realize the miracle God did for him. And therefore, when Yonah finally got out of the whale, you know, and he went to the city of Nineveh and said, God is telling you to do tshuva or else, the king of Nineveh got up and proclaimed a fast for 3 days. Because he knew from past experience that when God says something, he means business. He means it. So therefore, God does miracles like that to wicked people for them to realize the greatness of God and to do something about it. So God saved the king of Sodom, even though it was a corrupt country, that's where Lot went there, right? God saved Pare. God wanted why him and not the guy of a murder? I don't know. The Mephoshim say, the fact that the Pasuk says only the king of Sodom went out, means he was the only one that was saved from the kings. So all five kings, the other guys all died, including the king of Amora. Why was Sodom saved? That he should be able to talk to Avram and realize the greatness that Avram did. Hashem does a lot of interesting things, a lot of interesting, weird things, which is, you know, sometimes we're lucky that the Torah teaches it to us, what the reason is. The Medrash says, like he says, just as you descended from the fiery furnace and were saved, I also descended from the slime and was saved. And the Ramban said, what happened to the king of Amora? Apparently, the Ramban said he died. That's why the Torah doesn't mention it. Okay. And in fact, other Mephoshim say, and we'll finish with this, other commentaries say, why the king of Sodom merited because of Avraham Avinu to be saved. Because of Avraham Avinu he was saved. Why? It could be, by the way, because Lot lived in his country, your city, whatever it is. So Hashem saved the king in respect to Lot.
But
why was the miracle done? Because Lot and the merit of Avram, so this was his king, so Hashem saved him for that reason. Could be. Okay.